Hello and welcome. Now, if you're a subscriber to the main Autosport podcast and sister shows Current Affairs, our dedicated Formula E channel, and Tank Slappers, which serves the motorbiking world, you might have noticed that this particular episode has gone out across all three titles, and there's a good reason for that. For now, I'm your temporary host, Matt Q, and for this, in inverted commas, special episode, I'm joined by Autosport's technical editor, Jake Boxall-Legg, and our MotoGP correspondent, Lewis Duncan, to discuss the ever-evolving situation regarding the spread of the novel coronavirus known as COVID-19. Now, although the 2020 Formula One season is set to kick off in Australia this weekend, it does so under something of a cloud following the spread of the virus, declared by the World Health Organization as a public emergency, and it's really taken its toll on the motorsport calendar in quite a short space of time. We already know that the Bahrain Grand Prix will be held behind closed doors, two Formula E races have been officially postponed, and the Premier MotoGP class season opener in Qatar was cancelled altogether. It's a situation that's evolving day by day, and its repercussions fall well beyond just the racing world, and it's a situation that we're all monitoring very closely in the office. Now, JBL, big question, I'm going to throw over to you straight away. Do you fancy getting us and the listeners up to speed on the headlines surrounding COVID-19 so far?
What do we know about coronavirus? Well, of course, it's what's known as a serious acute respiratory syndrome. And so that's basically the same acronym that SARS virus had a few years ago, if you remember that. This isn't nearly as deadly. The death rate isn't quite as high as SARS or Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome as well, which struck in 2012. But it has spread much more widely, and it's been a really strange accelerated spread that has gone worldwide. So it was originally reported as this sort of pneumonia case that originated in Wuhan in China, and then it was found as a new strain of coronavirus, hence novel coronavirus. And so as a result, a lot of sporting events have been cancelled. So that's the situation now. We're currently up to about 300 and something cases in the UK. And you know, it's expected to spread over the next days and months, really.
You're in the office now recording the podcast, but you're not too far away from setting off on your travels for race two of the Formula One calendar in Bahrain. Obviously, you know, you've cleaned your underwear, you're about to pack your suitcase, but what's the impact being felt in Formula One at the moment?
It's very, very strange because obviously China was cancelled very, very early doors, and that seemed like a very proactive move by Formula One and the Chinese Grand Prix organisers. So, and we didn't really know the full impact then either. It was just, this has happened in China and it has been cancelled. And now it's sort of taken on this shape as this global, it's teetering on the edge of a pandemic, really. But Australia has still gone ahead. Australia is not a country that's really faced this so much. It's not undergone a massive amount of travel restrictions like a lot of other countries have done, but it's creating a lot of problems because a lot of the Formula One fraternity goes through, you know, en route to Australia, countries like Singapore and that kind of thing, and these are countries that are massively affected. So it's really breaking, you know, travel down. It's kind of making that a little bit difficult for everybody in Formula One. There was also a situation as well where Italy is basically on complete lockdown at the moment, and obviously you have Ferrari and AlphaTauri and Pirelli, a lot of a big Italian contingent in Formula One as it stands. So it's a very, very strange situation. Australia has gone ahead. I think the Italian teams managed to sort of beat the quarantine in Italy, so they're in Australia. It's just, how do you get to Bahrain now? Because currently, as it stands, most of the flights go to Bahrain from Australia via Dubai. There is only one flight from Dubai to Bahrain per day. So a lot of Formula One team members and journalists and other individuals in the paddock are finding that their flights are being pushed back or moved forward, and it doesn't really correlate with the swing of the weekend. And then there is the future impact as well. What's going to happen to the Vietnam race? What's going to happen at the start of the European season? Will this have all gone away, or will it be a lot more serious? We just don't know. So it's still having an impact now.
Lewis, over to you. MotoGP calendar. Do you reckon it's fair to say it's been the one that's most impacted by coronavirus? Literally, you know, 30 seconds before we've come on air, you've seen your new schedule for the year. You've, I'm no doubt, had to cancel all your social engagements and parties. So how widespread is it in the two-wheeled world?
Yeah, I think it is safe to say that MotoGP has probably been impacted the most by the coronavirus outbreak. Of course, this is the second new calendar we've had in 5 days. We had a new calendar issued last Thursday, which confirmed Austin would be the start race after, as you mentioned earlier on, Qatar was cancelled. And now Austin has been postponed to the penultimate round of the championship. We are due to get underway in Argentina on April 19th. So far, there's only been a couple of confirmed cases in the country, and none of them near the Telemaster Rio Hondo circuit. But the problem is there that, you know, you bring in this championship of, you know, maybe 2,000 personnel. Remember, you've got three world championships in the MotoGP paddock, MotoGP, Moto2 and Moto3. So there is that risk of, you know, someone potentially bringing the virus with them. So there's all those sort of things to consider. So the start date for the MotoGP calendar is very much not fixed. And then, yeah, we don't know how this Italy lockdown is going to affect things. The large majority of the paddock is based there, a lot of Italian riders, a lot of teams based in Italy as well, as two Italian manufacturers on the grid, Aprilia and Ducati. So it's a very difficult situation right now. You know, we did have some racing in Qatar with Moto2 and Moto3 because they were already there a week ago for a pre-season test. So they
to get some social media flack initially, but it was more of a product of circumstance.
Yeah, really. And, you know, it could have been argued that, yeah, you know, MotoGP, a bit of hindsight, really, they could have done the same thing. But you have to think that the MotoGP test wrapped up a week before that, so a fortnight before the season started. So, you know, that's 2 weeks away from home for a lot of people, which, you know, in a 20-race championship, as, you know, as it's, well, 19 race now, but it's a long time you're going to be away from home, and it's a lot to ask for people to try and stay separated from their families, especially in this difficult time with the virus. Some MotoGP manufacturers, particularly the Japanese manufacturers, so Honda, Suzuki, Yamaha, they did insist that some of the sort of main, enough people stayed behind in Qatar just in case they didn't get caught out by any of the travel restrictions, but it was... it didn't matter in the end. It's, but yeah, it's, the situation changes day by day, and we don't know. You know, Italy's been hit hard by this. Spain's now going to be hit hard by this, which of course, you know, that has repercussions for MotoGP as well. A lot of Spanish riders. We have four Spanish races this season, so yeah, it's very all in flux right now.
Absolutely. A quick update on the Formula E world as the correspondent, I suppose. The Sanya Prix, obviously in China, little surprise there when that was officially postponed. That's a wording from Formula E, although as is expected, we've not had a revised date yet. Whether you take that to mean as near as damn it cancelled is up to the listener. Leave it with them. And then this week it was announced that the Rome Prix will also fall off the calendar. Perhaps no great surprise given Italy is the worst affected country in Europe as a result of the coronavirus. You know, they bought in, the Italian government bought in sort of a decree that all sporting events were to take place behind closed doors until the 3rd of April. Curiously, that was a day before the Formula E event. But Shakedown takes place the day before. That would have overlapped with that. But then, you know, as we saw with the Rome Marathon getting cancelled, and then the men's and women's Six Nations matches against England being postponed, you know, Formula E as a byproduct has fallen off the calendar. Interestingly, though, sort of preempting this, the Formula E freight was shipped straight from the last round in Marrakesh to the circuit in Valencia, where they conduct pre-season testing. So all the cars are located there, and we understand, although it's not been confirmed, that 4th of April race date is being kept free for a race at what seems like Valencia is a likely location. That'd be interesting because, you know, Formula E on a purpose-built racetrack would be quite good. But having said that, you know, with the freight potentially ending up as a stand-in race in Spain, from my perspective, Lewis, JBR, I don't know about you, but it seems like MotoGP and Formula E in particular have had the better response to coronavirus, both in terms of communication and perhaps lending themselves to being slightly more flexible to alternate races. What do you guys make of that statement? Is it a fair assessment of Formula One maybe being a tad cumbersome in this situation?
I think so. Because when you talk about Formula One, there's so many commercial agreements and things like that. And Formula One doesn't want to lose the race fees that it commands from its promoters. And so Formula One can't go around and say, we're going to cancel that race, because then they have to give all of the money that they've got from countries to be on the calendar back. And so their incentive is for them to wait until the organiser says, we can't hold the race anymore in good faith. And then Formula One says, okay, we'll hang on to that money. So it's a matter of trying to balance your commercial interests with your human interests, if you like. And it's a very, very hard thing to do. It's very difficult to look cynical, and it's also very difficult to keep all of these 10 teams in good financial health, because you will be naturally losing a lot of money. So it's a weird balancing act that you have to play, but you also do have to some degree be decisive, and that's what Formula E and MotoGP seem to have done. MotoGP has responded to the situation as it comes. I'm sure Lewis will talk about this in a bit, but you know, today we've even had a change to the calendar. So Austin was positioned as the season opener after the first two rounds were cancelled, and now they are reacting to that day by day. There has been changes in Texas, in particular Austin, and various bans on public gatherings. So it is ultimately responding to the situation as it arises day by day, really.
The Formula One thing is kind of interesting, because we had the Bahrain announcement at the weekend, and there wasn't really a Formula One, official Formula One follow-up until Monday. It didn't really add anything new to the situation. Dorna Sports, MotoGP's promoters, and the FIM have been very publicly proactive. Carmelo Ezpeleta, the Dorna CEO, held a press conference in Qatar over the weekend and said, you know, nothing's off limits in terms of getting this world championship in. Contractually, Dorna and the FIM have to run a minimum of 13 Grand Prix this season. But they are steadfast in their determination to run as many races as possible. So right now, we still have a full 19 race championship. Thailand's been pushed back to the start of October, and as JBL just mentioned there, that Austin's now been pushed back as well. So they are still trying to host a full championship. They haven't ruled out the possibility of running races behind closed doors. They haven't ruled out the possibility of running races, you know, running two Grand Prix a weekend. That, I don't know how that would work personally. That's, I think there's a lot of contractual things with circuits that would have to be ironed out there. I know for a fact there are two circuits that are on the reserve list, so both in Portugal, so Portimao and Estoril. So should another race in Europe become unviable, you know, perhaps, you know, there's a chance to run races in Portugal. So there are, Dorna and the FIM have been making a lot of noise about this, both Ezpeleta and FIM president Jorge Viejas. It's already a congested calendar, and, you know, the end of the season's looking pretty tight. You've got Aragon back-to-back with Thailand, and then you've got the three flyaway triple headers in the Pacific regions, and then you've got Austin 2 weeks after that, and then Austin and Valencia are back-to-back. So that's already quite tight. There have been talks about maybe pushing the season back into December, so that's obviously longer travel times for people. It's, you know, there's a couple of sort of schools of thoughts. One is it's good that they're being proactive, and it is good to see, especially from the fans' point of view, from my point of view as well, because it's, let's not forget, you know, it's livelihoods for a lot of people, and the MotoGP paddock in particular, there's a lot of freelancers, so they, you know, there is certainly that element of it as well. But, you know, how much pressure do you put on the teams? How much pressure can they take, especially when you think you've got a very quick turnaround after December to get everything ready for the start of the new season? So, you know, there is an argument to be made that perhaps Dorna are maybe quite willing to pay the price, but maybe not so much count the cost of trying to get an entire championship run.
F1 this season has an inaugural race in Vietnam. Formula E, we're meant to go to an inaugural race in Seoul in South Korea, and Jakarta. All three of those territories are obviously close to where coronavirus is said to have started. What do you rate the prospects of Vietnam staying on the calendar? Obviously, it shouldn't be just about a loss of face, but as you alluded to earlier, you know, there's commercial agreements at play here as well.
To be honest with you, I don't know, because I hear a lot of different things. I hear that it's under threat. I hear that it will go ahead. I think the key thing is there's also obviously another new race in Zandvoort as well, which we'll get to in a minute. But there hasn't been a lot of discussion over what will happen in Vietnam. But one thing that has changed is the visa situation with regards to specifically, not specifically people in the UK and number of other nationalities as well, but people from the UK going into Vietnam will now have to get visa, and that adds another layer of red tape. And it does look day by day a little bit more and more unlikely that it will happen. I mean, maybe it still will, I don't know. Maybe they'll push it ahead. Maybe coronavirus will suddenly, I don't know, go away. We just don't know at this point. But I think the sensible decision would be to, at the very least, postpone it. As I say, there is also Zandvoort as well, which is a very much hyped race. But by the time we get to end of April, start of May, I would suggest that coronavirus had probably taken much more of a hold in Europe. And so that race and the Spanish Grand Prix and the Monaco Grand Prix as well, they're all going to be quite under threat as well. So it's really hard to say what's going to go ahead and what's not. It's very, very difficult. It is changing day by day. And, you know, by the time we wake up tomorrow, it might have all gone, or it might have got a whole lot worse. So we just don't know.
Absolutely. From a Formula E point of view, we've got a race in Jakarta, which has already had a difficult birth. Local authorities announced that the initial proposed route was no longer suitable. And then suddenly it was again. And then, as you alluded to with Zandvoort, we've got Formula E races coming up in Paris and Berlin. And although Italy has gone pretty militant over the last 48 hours in terms of its measures to contain the spread, obviously if it sort of leaks into mainland Europe more widespread, then all of that could be affected as well. And it seems so far that we've had three sort of measures come in. The race is cancelled altogether. It's held behind closed doors, or we go to an alternative location. Otherwise, you know, they continue as is. Do we get a sense from any of the paddocks that we might see more of that announced in the very near future?
We've already got the behind closed doors race in Bahrain, and it'll be, I think Formula One might be using that as a little bit of a bellwether to test out whether it's a viable strategy or not.
Obviously a fan favourite and filled with spectators, the Bahrain Grand Prix each year.
Yeah, some people have suggested that, you know, what's the difference? But joking aside, it is a sort of test for whether Formula One can handle it. I suppose if one is to find an upside, it will be Formula One TV no longer does fan shots every time an overtake is being taken. But obviously, you'll still have the TV personnel and you still have journalists going. So it contains some of the spread, but obviously, if there's one person in the F1 paddock that's got it, then we're all at risk. I'm not entirely. Maybe other series as well will look at that example, and, you know, perhaps Formula E and perhaps MotoGP will look at it and go, okay, it is a viable strategy. Let's have a go.
Yeah, ultimately, the teams here, you know, they've developed cars, they've developed bikes, they've signed up to championships, they expect to race, you know, they exist to race, they spend millions and millions of pounds. Lewis, in the MotoGP paddock, have you got sort of wind of team principals and staff in particular being particularly proactive about making sure you get to that sort of set number of races, and, you know, what they've been proposing to Dorna to sort of see the calendar remain unaffected as possible?
There hasn't been too much noise yet. In that press conference with Ezpeleta last weekend, you know, he did say they are working very closely, Dorna, the FIM, working very closely with IRTA, which is the International Race Teams Association, and the Manufacturers Association as well. So it does to me sound like it's very much a collaborative effort in the MotoGP paddock to find solutions, to find the best way forward. Like you say, you know, everyone in the paddock exists to go racing. This is our life, you know, this is what we live for. This is what all the manufacturers have put all that money and development time in for. It's what the riders have trained for all their lives. Everyone lives to go racing. So there will definitely be an effort to make sure we get as much racing as possible. Like JBL says there, I think Bahrain will be watched very keenly by a lot of championships to see if it is a viable option. There is obviously going to be a loss to circuits for not being able to host fans and have to refund fans, and obviously the series organizers then will have to offer some sort of compensation, I would imagine. that hasn't been really, by the sounds of it, an issue for MotoGP. As Belletta said, look, it doesn't really matter what the financial implications are as long as we get races. And to be fair, you would lose a lot more money by completely not staging a race than staging it behind closed doors. So there are a lot of things to consider here, but like I say, it does, from MotoGP side anyway, it does sound like it's very much a collaborative effort, a joint effort to try and find the best solution. And that does seem like, though, has probably been stifled a little bit by the lockdown in Italy. And you have to think that that'll be a measure that might affect other countries in Europe, particularly in the not too distant future, as more cases of COVID-19 get confirmed.
We know you mainly from MotoGP, but you're a passionate fan and reporter of road racing as well. So what about something, you know, for example, like the Isle of Man TT, a bit closer to home for us? Is that anything we could see affected? Some of the road races are a bit more domestic, and the Isle of Man, which is a bit more isolated from everywhere else.
Yeah, the TT is probably the other big motorsport event that's kind of, there is certainly a focus on what the future of that event will be. The Isle of Man government very recently issued a statement saying everything's fine, everything's going to go ahead, but they might have to introduce some sort of travel restrictions on people coming, because you have to think this is an island of maybe 50,000 people, I think, maybe a bit less than that. It swells to something mad like 80,000 during TT fortnight. So many people from all over the world come to Isle of Man for the TT, and of course with that brings a risk, where right now this is an island that doesn't have any confirmed cases. There's no, they're very, very low risk of coronavirus there right now, but that could change exponentially when you introduce all these new people. That could very quickly then overwhelm the hospitals there. The hospitals there are already a little bit not stressed, but they need to keep a certain number of beds free for serious accidents on Isle of Man during practice or racing. So there's a question mark there, and it's all going to depend on how serious things kind of get in Europe with the virus. Do they stop people coming from Europe and then maybe just focus on the UK? But of course, we don't know what the UK situation is going to be. That obviously will then have an impact economically on Isle of Man. TT, very big source of income for Isle of Man. So it's difficult. And of course, we've got the Northwest 200 as well. We're not sure how Northern Ireland's going to respond to all this. So it's all systems go for now. But, you know, as JBL's mentioned before, and as you mentioned as well, Matt, this changes day to day. It could be all right tomorrow. It could be, you know, even worse tomorrow. We just don't know.
Now that, listeners, is someone who knows their paddock inside and out. And while you're speaking about the Isle of Man TT, a word on UK motorsport a little closer to home. At club level racing, Motorsport UK, which is sort of the governing body of motorsport in this country, similar to what we've said, they've said they're monitoring the situation closely and they respect it's ever-changing. However, yesterday they did, along with other sporting authorities, meet with the government and sort of consult with various programmes. The word we're getting from them is that by and large they expect national meetings to continue largely unaffected as it stands. That is weighted towards your sort of your bread and butter grassroots motorsport with gentlemen, you know, or gentlewomen drivers at the weekend, not your larger capacity British touring car races, which might be affected. I don't think it's too unrealistic to say a step further. If you look at an event like Goodwood Festival of Speed in the summer, if coronavirus is still sort of a heavy threat around then, that's, I think, gets footfall of about 300,000 people over the weekend. With so many famous drivers, so many famous cars, brands coming in, obviously, like you said, Lewis, with the TT, that's a hotspot for sort of people coming into the country from their respective territories and so on. The Olympics this summer set for Tokyo, the Euros as well. So, you know, it does exist well beyond motorsport.
And obviously in the world of sport as well, you have Serie A being cancelled until in the beginning of April, but here in the UK, things are going ahead. Cheltenham Festival this weekend, and that's set to bring about, you know, quite a large public gathering. The important thing is for you people at home listening to this podcast is not to be worried. Obviously, you'll hear a lot of things in the media that are being said. Some of it a little bit more hyperbolic than others. important thing is just to be sensible. Please wash your hands. You don't need to stockpile everything from the supermarket.
Yeah, this whole thing of panic buying soap, which is it's like running up to one end of the football pitch, kicking a ball in the net and realising it's your own goal. Because if you're hoarding all the soap, that means other people can't wash their hands and that's how they will spread coronavirus. And another thing, I'm warming to my theme here. When you see people wearing masks on a tube, all that does is like incubate the germs around their mouth and force that to spread. It's moronic.
Well, I've seen pictures of people with gas masks, Tupperware boxes on their heads, which...
The only time that's sensible on a tube is when inconsiderate passengers start eating, not the spread of coronavirus. Not the most lighthearted podcast episode we've ever done. We'll hold our hands up to that. But I think it's important to address sort of the changing situation. And on that note, if it's something that we revisit down the line as and when we learn more about the impact in Formula One, Formula E and MotoGP, then obviously we'll reconvene to bring you the latest. We'll leave it there for now. My thanks to JBL for his insights into the world of Formula One, Lewis Duncan for MotoGP. Join us again for another Autosport podcast.